My first guest is Ana Mercedes Rueda, who is a communication and journalism professional with 21 years of expertise in media and corporate communications. Currently, she dedicates full time to channeling angels, which she divides between Colombia and the United States. In the United States, Ana has appeared and been interviewed nationally by Wake Up America, Waking Up New York News 41, Univision News with You San Diego of the Univision Network, and has also appeared in different newspapers, including The Opinion, The Special, The Press Daily, The Times News, and on websites directed to the Hispanic market, one of them being Univision.com. Ana also writes for many magazines and newspapers like Carousel Magazine of the main daily newspaper, Olo Magazine, Cromo Magazine, Zono Newspaper of El Tiempo, where she has a weekly column, Nueva Magazine, El Espectador Newspaper, El Jurado Newspaper, El Paso News, El Universal Newspaper, Diario Rio del Occidente, The Western's Daily, Viver Collection by Televisa Editorial Company, Go Magazine, and Plan B Magazine, among others. Her publications include the magazine titled Angels, Beings of Light, for the editorial, plus Productions, which is distributed in Latin America. She has also participated in radio shows like Time to Come Back, or LAW Station, Caracol Radio Network, and RCN Radio Network. She was featured in Colombian TV shows like Cure for the Soul and Very Good Morning of RCN Television, which can be seen on TV Colombia in the United States, and Bravissimo and Conexión Positiva of City TV Channel. She has also taken part in internet forums for Elo Magazine and Terra.com Colombia, in which she offers a weekly chat for those who visit the website. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Ana, and I look forward to hearing about the healing of your fibroids in your uterus. Now, first, what kind of health situation did you have, or how did you find out about having the fibroids?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to your show. And the way I found out about this fibroid was very interesting. And I've always thought that it was, of course, God who put everything together to help me finding this out, because I had no idea. I hadn't had any kinds of symptoms that could have told me that I had a fibroid or anything in my uterus. Mm-hmm. So the way it happened was very unusual. And why do I say this? Because I am originally from Colombia, and I live here in Connecticut. I have friends and relatives in New Jersey, and I remember that that was like in November, close to Thanksgiving Day, and they invited me over to their house to spend the day with them. Mm-hmm. And days before that, one day I woke up and I had my left knee very swollen, very hot, and very red. And I hadn't fallen down. I hadn't had any type of incident. I thought that probably some kind of bug had bit me, but no signs of anything like that at all. So I was concerned because I was, of course, having trouble walking. And when I went to see my friends in New Jersey, they're also Colombians, and they had another friend over from Bogota, which is the city I am from. And he is a holistic doctor. So I started chatting with him, and I told him about the situation in my knee, and he explained to me that sometimes the body gives you like signals that, of course, something is going on, but it doesn't have exactly to be in that same area, but in a different area of your body. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a reflection. I don't know the right word in English, but it's a kind of a reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So he suggested me to visit my gynecologist because probably I could have some type of infection
mm-hmm.
in my reproductive system. So I did. I saw my gynecologist, and she also did this test. She checked me, and she felt a big mass
mm-hmm.
in my uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, wow, it's something big. I remember now at this moment that she said, it feels like a baby's head.
Oh.
So I remember joking because I said, well, I am not aware of it. I'm not aware of being pregnant. Mm-hmm. So, of course, she said, you need to have a CAT scan and bring it back to me when you have it. So,
mm-hmm.
okay, I did. And then it's when a big, big uterus was shown in the test.
Mm-hmm.
It was, she explained to me by that time, that it was as big as a grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite big.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I didn't have any kind of symptoms. My cycle is very regular. Everything mm-hmm. is fine. She said, well, since it is so big, my advice is for you to have a myomectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that she gave me that option, or there was another option, which was with a kind of a monthly shot, like an injection of a medicine that creates like a premature menopause.
Mm-hmm.
So the uterus starts shrinking because it's not fed by the blood. But I thought of, you know, all the consequences of having like a change in the cycles.
Mm-hmm.
I am very against chemicals and against invasive
mm-hmm.
options.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of stubborn, and I said, I do not want any of these.
Mm-hmm.
I've been channeling angels and angelic energy for almost 20 years
mm-hmm.
now, and I decided to start meditating and praying and working with the healing energy of the angels
mm-hmm.
to heal myself. So they guided me on how to do this hands-on treatment, working with light, seeing the colors, working with the healing angels, working with Archangel Raphael, which
mm-hmm.
is the
mm-hmm.
Archangel of all health issues, and of course God first of all. So I did that every night.
Mm-hmm.
Every night I would do hands-on on me. And I remember that at least like 8 or 9 months passed, and then I went back to see the gynecologist because I wanted to like do the follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another CAT scan, and when she saw the results, she realized, or she noticed, that the fibroid had shrank in 25%.
Mm-hmm.
She was surprised, very surprised. And she said, what have you been doing? I remember her question. And I said, well, I wasn't going to tell her that I was working with angels
mm-hmm.
because then she would have looked at me kind of, you know, in a strange way.
Mm-hmm.
But I just said, well, I've been praying to God, and I did, advised by the angels, was to eat more organic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was eating a lot of fruits and vegetables and all this, trying not to eat processed food, which has lots of hormones and all this. So she didn't, of course, believe me, but she said to me that that wasn't very usual because fibroids either get or stay where they are
mm-hmm.
or they either keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not common to see them shrinking, especially by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that confirmed to me that the type of healing process I was doing was really helping me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it probably not as constant as I should, but I keep doing it, and the fibroid keeps shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
Each time that I have another test done, it shows me that it's shrinking
mm-hmm.
and shrinking and
mm-hmm.
shrinking. So I am very confident that I won't need a surgery, but that this will disappear
mm-hmm.
someday. I'm mm-hmm. totally positive about it, and I know it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it was the combination of the meditation and the prayer and the healing of your angels that brought back the shrinking of the fibroids?
Yes, definitely. And of course, after that, I started looking for more advice, for more points of view.
Mm-hmm.
So I
mm-hmm.
went to see holistic doctors, and they also explained to me how these symptoms, when something is in your body that does not belong to it naturally, it's because it comes with a message for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that it wants to tell you about something that is related to your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that all the physical issues that you have come or have like an emotional root.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided also working on my emotions, and I started discovering aspects of me as a woman, my concepts about maternity,
mm-hmm.
my fears, the need of forgiveness
mm-hmm.
that I needed to work on. So I've done all that,
mm-hmm.
which is not easy. It's not from one day to another. It's something that, of course, takes time.
Right.
But I've been working on it very, very, very hard to forgive and to thank the fibroid,
mm-hmm.
because I also learned that I do not have to reject it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have instead to thank it, because it's come with a message for me, something that I need to change in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been thanking this fibroid for that message, that for making me understand what my fears were,
mm-hmm.
and that since it accomplished that mission, that now it's time for it to go,
mm-hmm.
that I do not need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's why I think it's been shrinking little by little, and I know that it will go away.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but it's been a whole combination of
mm-hmm.
this holistic approach,
mm-hmm.
an energetic approach to it that has allowed me to heal slowly, but I am healing.
Anna, what other changes have happened to you as a result of the organic food and the healing and the meditation and all of the things that you're doing?
Well, lots of changes. Since my work has to do all the time with contact with energies
mm-hmm.
and higher vibrations, of
mm-hmm.
course, the fact that I eat more naturally, more organic, helps me to achieve that contact in a much easier way.
Mm-hmm.
The angels have, with the time, have suggested me what I should avoid eating and what should I eat more
mm-hmm.
for me to be a better channel. So definitely not to eat processed foods or not to eat some like fast food.
Mm-hmm.
What we need, like what we know as junk food. Try to avoid it as much as possible. Caffeine, this kind of substances that, you know, make
mm-hmm.
you feel like hyper.
Mm-hmm.
They've said to me that it's not good for your body. Red meat.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to eat red meat.
Sugar?
Yeah. I mean, I eat fish and chicken
mm-hmm.
because in my personal case, my body could not get adjusted to be
right.
a total vegetarian,
right.
but I need the animal protein, but red meat especially is what I've been told not
mm-hmm.
not to eat
right.
much.
Right.
So energetically, I felt a big change in my mood. I have felt changes
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
When I eat this kind of food, I feel more anxious or more irritable, like more cranky.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or grumpy. When I eat organic and I drink especially lots of fluids like water or water
right.
with some
mm-hmm.
some lemon in, I feel very well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more peaceful. I feel more, I don't know, I feel more light.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I can describe it.
Right.
So meditating, of course, is the first thing a person needs to do in order to connect with the higher dimensions,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that really helps you to feel inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are part of my lifestyle, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So you would recommend then to others that are interested in trying something like this, that they meditate, that they watch their diet, and how would suggest that they contact their angels for help? Because it sounds like they've been a lot of help to you.
Oh, I mean, since the angels came to my life, I felt 360-degree change.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a depressive person. When I was a teenager, I was very, like, gray
mm-hmm.
and depressive. And when I started having this beautiful contact with them, I saw that I became a much more positive person,
mm-hmm.
happier, more outgoing. And they've helped me in all senses. They helped me emotionally, spiritually, of course, and physically. And yes, they've been very important and fundamental for me to heal
mm-hmm.
Physically and internally.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I would recommend to people. If you know, respecting, of course, each person's beliefs,
mm-hmm.
because I am not saying that everybody should contact angels
mm-hmm.
for them to heal or anything like that. I am talking just about my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell that meditation has helped me a lot,
mm-hmm.
especially in my emotional life, since I said before that I used to be a very depressive
mm-hmm.
woman. That changed, thank God, that
mm-hmm.
changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I do not get depressed at all, because I wouldn't be telling the truth. Of course I do. I am a human being.
Right.
And it's normal to feel depressed and sad. But what I see is that they help me getting over it in a much quicker way.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be depressed for a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
But now I am depressed today, and tomorrow I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that I saw immediately. And also the way I was eating was in the healthiest way. Now I am much more careful with what I eat.
Mm-hmm.
When I meditate, and I also learned this from the angels, after I meditate, they all suggest me to drink water. So I do after I meditate, especially if I do it for more than an hour or so. So I am trying to really take care of myself and love this temple, which is the body,
mm-hmm.
because the body
right.
is the temple of our soul
mm-hmm.
in this life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've learned that self-love is the first thing we need to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we love ourselves, we can give more to others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm taking care of myself, and I do what is good for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you have services and products that you would like to discuss with the listeners?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I give workshops because I love to share what my experience
mm-hmm.
has been.
Mm-hmm.
So I give workshops in both Spanish as well as in English.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a website, which I am going to spell if it's okay, because the
right.
name is in Spanish.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
the website is in both languages.
Mm-hmm.
It's www.MENNCSSARAHJE,
mm-hmm.
mensaje, which is the Spanish word for message.
Mm-hmm.
DEANGELES.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mensaje de Angeles, which is translated as message from angels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
.com. Or my name, Ana Mercedes Rueda .com. And then if your listeners go there, they will find the different services I offer.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some products as well. But basically, I give workshops, talks, and I do private readings for people who would like to receive the messages the angels have for them.
Great. Is there any parting words, then, that you would like to leave with the listeners, Anna?
Oh, well, the words that I would like to leave for your listeners, these are the words that are coming to me, to my mind and my heart from the angels now, and they are hope, they are faith, and they are really emphasizing the word faith related to healing in any situation, healing of any kind, internal and external healing. They are saying now that we have the power to heal ourselves, and that it's very positive that we are really turning over other kinds of, like, other types of processes to heal besides the ones that we already know of. There are alternatives. There are other ways that are probably easier and that are very helpful, without saying that if somebody wants to do something else, it's not good. But if we try to treat our body in a nicer way, so to speak, without just looking for something quick, something fast, and that's it, not taking into account the consequences or the side effects of that, it's much better than, you know, than just think at once what to do and that's it. We have to respect our body. So hope, faith, respect are the main words that are coming to my my mind now from them.
Well, that's a beautiful message, Anna, and I thank you for sharing that with us. I think we all need to have faith, especially in our times now, because there's so many people that are trying to drive fear. And so I think that, you know, as we develop faith, we don't get caught up in the fear that is being pushed on many of us in the media and other ways. So I appreciate that message to the listeners and to me. So...
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. I really feel honored for you inviting me to your show again. And I hope that my message, my testimonial will feel good for the people and will be kind of, you know, like a kind of motivation for people who probably are going through the same thing.
Right.
To work on themselves, to love their bodies, to listen to their bodies, because that's something else I did. I asked my uterus. I asked, "What do you feel? Tell me. Tell me what's going on." And I have to tell you that when I asked that question, I heard the word or the words, "I'm hurt." I'm hurt, and I started crying nonstop. There was such a huge sadness in my uterus. And I had to release it and to send it love. And that was when I really started feeling much better physically. And I felt that my uterus probably hadn't had enough attention from me. And I started appreciating much more who I am. I am a woman. And I've been given by God the gift of maternity. So I really appreciate this now with all my heart, and my uterus, I know, feels it for me, and that's why it's healing. That's like its response to my love. It's healing.
Well, I appreciate this very much, Anna. It's been interesting, and I know it will give encouragement to listeners that are having health problems that know that they can do something about it themselves. So I appreciate this, and I thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you again. Thank you again, and God bless you.
And now a word from our sponsor, a distinctive style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. This magazine is identified as an art-loving, earth-conscious, inspirational community that reports on eco-products and awareness, art and artisans, celebrities making a difference in the world, charities and inspirational stories, and you won't be disappointed. The upcoming issue is again full of wonderful articles. The cover story is with Colin Firth and how he perceived the stuttering part of himself as he played the king in his Oscar-winning role in The King's Speech. Jane Fraser, founder of the Stuttering Association, was also interviewed for this piece. There are lots of articles and videos about autism and how it affects the outer world. Children are bullied and stared at because of their condition, and we're letting people know what it's like to be on the inside of the autistic child. Our goal is to help eliminate the judging of others. There is also an interview with Derek Paravicini, musical savant who can recall every song he's ever heard, and Dr. Adam Oakleford, who has taken Derek on as a full-time friend and who is a professor of music in London. These are a few of the stories you will read in the upcoming issue of A Distinctive Style magazine, and I know you will want to subscribe. For more information and to subscribe, go to www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Robert Rideout, an inspirational writer and singer-songwriter who lives on a farm with his three cats, Maya, Baba, and Olive, overlooking Colesville, Washington. He has recently self-published his second book of poetry based on his song lyrics and is recording a CD of nearly 30 years' worth of original songs to accompany both books. His first book was Still Singing Somehow. Hiking in the woods with his cats is one of Rob's greatest joys, and learning how to self-publish his memoirs is one of his greatest challenges. Currently, he is still sober and singing somehow. More information is available at http://stillsingingsomehow.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Rob, and I look forward to hearing about your alcoholism, incarceration, and faith in turning your life around. First, can you tell me about your alcoholism and then about your incarceration and how faith came into your life?
Okay. The alcoholism, I didn't start early on. I was around 29 or 30 when I really started to drink. I had tried it when I was like 18, got sick on everything and didn't do it. And then I was a professional musician working in bar situations 4 to 6 nights a week for for 28 years, really, on and off. So I was always around alcohol and playing for drunks, and I didn't want anything to do with it. Then when I went through my first divorce, our band went to Fiji Islands for 7 months and played down there. And I was around more alcohol, and I was free to do whatever I wanted at that point. And it started to experiment in it more. Then after the trip to Fiji, our band went on the road for a year. And that's when it started to really snowball, unbeknownst to me. I was already having blackouts and just drinking after we got done playing every night in different cities, and it was really fun at that point. I had no idea of the danger I was going into at all.
And how old were you then?
I was like 30.
Oh,
And it hadn't really caused any problems at that point. It was just still recreationally fun. I thought I was a heavy drinker. I didn't even know the word alcoholic. Then I get married again, and then our house burns down. After we lose everything, the baby comes. So we were very stressed out. Then we went through a divorce because of it all, which this is all in my book, Still Singing Somehow. I don't want to get too much of it away. But that is when Then my father died and my best friend got killed, and I fell 20 feet and broke my body in 12 places and didn't even, I almost died. They weren't even sure they could put me back together. So from all of that, then losing my house the second time from divorce after we rebuilt it after the fire, I felt like I had literally lost everything. My wife moved away with my son, so he was, you know, very young at the time. And then I ended up doing the great divorce experience or experiment of trying to follow my ex-wife around the country to be near my son because I didn't. My mom and dad and sister are all gone, and I'm basically an orphan, and all I have is my son. So it's really the abandonment issues that caused me to want to drink like there was no end. Like, don't tell me to stop. I have no intention of stopping. I just didn't want to wake up. I just felt so depressed that, how could God do this to me, unbeknownst that I had really done it all to myself at this point? Then the DUI started, and then I culminated quite a few of them before I got what's called an aggravated DUI, which is a DUI when your license has already been suspended or revoked. That makes it a Class 4 felony that put me into prison. And I had no idea I would even be going to prison. I thought I might do some time in county jail, which I'd done before. You know, but the lawyer said, no, you're looking at some serious time in prison. And I did 2.5 years. And in that time, I was reintroduced to the Course in Miracles, came back into my life in prison. And I had tried to study that back when I was about 31 or so, and felt that I wasn't even old enough to, I could hardly get past one sentence in the text. So it came back when I'm in my 50s. And this time I was in the prime environment of prison. As ironic as it sounds, I had the time, and I could use that just to really get into it. So I read the whole Course in Miracles and redid all the lessons again, and finally was able, through writing my book, I wrote it for my son while I was in prison so he would know the whole story of how and why I ended up in prison and know a lot more about my life. Then I really felt, I'm really writing it for myself, to forgive myself for that, what I felt was just the horrible, wasted life I had created through my hasty, misled ego. And with the Course's help and praying to God and so many things, it all culminated in prison, and really, almost in one moment, I finally really got it and just let go and forgave myself, knowing that I don't have to ask God for forgiveness because God doesn't judge. He's never going to forgive me because he never judges me in the first place. It's all self-forgiveness is what the whole, I mean, that's what every book teaches you and tells you. But until you get it yourself, then I felt absolutely free. And I still had a lot more time to go. So I tried to be an inspiration to the other inmates if I could. And I wanted to use my time to get well, not get out. I never even thought about my date of when I was going to get out. Even when it approached just a few days away, I still was so into the Course in Miracles. I knew when I left this environment that I was so used to by that point that life was going to be different when I got out. And I was like reborn when I got out, totally reborn. Everything was a first time again. Walking into Walmart was, you know, you've been there, but you haven't seen it in so long. Everything staring at you from the shelves and all the decisions. And then I had to jump many, many hurdles after I got out before I could finally get a license again, get a place again, live with different roommates. So I've been through a lot, but I really, really believe the prayers that were said for me. I felt I let everybody down that prayed for me. That was one of the heaviest guilt, shame issues was, how could these so many friends really try to help me out and I still blow it? And then my son told me that, Dad, their prayers put you in prison. Otherwise, you probably would be dead. And prison was the safest environment for me to finally get well. And I made a vow to the judge on the first sentence of the book, really, to the judge and to God and to myself, that whatever he sentenced me to, I saw it as the will of God, that I wholeheartedly accepted my punishment. And realized I needed a time out from life.
And how long were you in prison?
2.5 years.
And,
but, you know, the book came out of that.
Obviously, you were searching when you were in prison, or you wouldn't have picked up the Course in Miracles.
Well, I was the librarian, And they had part three of The Course in Miracles, the manual for teachers, was all they had.
Mm-hmm.
So I hid it in my drawer. But no other inmate would even look at it, you know, really.
Oh.
It had hardly ever been checked out when I looked at the front of the book since I was librarian. But then I found the Human Kindness Foundation through Bo Lozoff. He's a very, very good person who's dealt with the penal system for 30 years of trying to wake up inmates when they're doing time, trying to get real clear on it's not the courts, it's not the judge, and it's not the police's fault that you're in here. I mean, everybody wants to live in the denial that it's always somebody else who puts you in there.
Right.
You've got to get it that you did it to yourself, you know. And he sent the course into me. He does this for inmates.
Mm-hmm. It's not an easy series of books to read.
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's definitely not for everybody.
No.
You've pretty much got to be pretty highly intelligent and educated to even tackle The Course in Miracles.
Right. And so when did you end the alcoholism? Did you not drink at all after you got out of prison?
I knew the day before I went into prison that that was the last drink I would ever take. I made a vow to myself right then that I drank right on up to the night before, and the next day I would go into the court, sign the plea agreement, and as soon as you sign it, you're handcuffed. And then the whole process begins. You'll never see home again. You're going to go to county jail for over a month until they finally figure out which prison they're going to sentence you to.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew at that point that I had made my mind up.
Mm-hmm.
That I had the worst part of the whole thing was waiting. After I got the aggravated DUI, it took 2 months before I finally went into the system. And that 2 months was the hardest, fear-ridden 2 months of my entire life because of the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Every image of prison comes up in your mind. Your friends tell you to run away to Costa Rica or whatever. And it was very difficult. And then once I signed that, it was a sigh of relief.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally looked at everything that happened to me step by step as I will never be here again. Because I'm never going to come back. I'm going to get out of this one way or the other safely. That's your biggest fear because of things that can happen in prison between individuals or races or whatever. I mean, you're always living in fear, even in a DUI prison, which I was in specifically for only people with DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 500 of us in my particular prison. And there's 7 of those prisons in the state of Arizona alone, just for DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody in there is basically an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And they had classes. All the time we had to go to class. And I loved it. I really liked it. I wanted to get as much as I could out of everything they could teach us.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other inmates could not stand the classes. I mean, they don't want to get well. And it's 85% will be back. That's the recidivism statistic.
Is there a spiritual orientation in prison?
They have AA, and then, of course, many people turn to the Bible because it's always there. They have a little chapel in, like, every prison.
Mm-hmm.
The Native Americans have their own sweat lodge, and so they have their own form of spiritual practice. But a lot of people do read self-help books in prison, and, I mean, you do meet other inmates that were kind of on the same path as me, you know. You would meet a few, but so many. It's just such a sad, sick environment. And I heard stories that were way worse than mine. And when you read my book, mine's pretty unbelievable.
Can you tell me again what triggered your change?
From alcohol was realizing, I think, that it really was not my friend that I used to think it was, that this was a horrible thing to ever call it my friend. It was the most deceptive friend ever. That will take you to hell, and it already had. And it's like, this has just got to go. And I do not want my son to ever have this disease. And I want to help others, you know, by my example and all the hell I did go through, that maybe somebody will hear my story and want to change and know that it is possible. If I can do it, anybody can do it. It's really not that hard once you make your mind up and know God will help you. And that's the psychic change that AA talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens inside you at such a deep level that I know if I ever touched alcohol again, you might as well just put a gun to my head, because the guilt and shame of letting myself and God down now, mm-hmm. that I've got over 7.5 years of sobriety, I would never think of doing it. In fact, it will make me cry to seriously even start talking about it. It mm-hmm. does every time. I'm just so grateful that a miracle happened in my life.
Are you able to see people that you saw before, or did you have to make a whole new set of friends?
Oh, not really at all. No, it's been no problem. When I got out, I was serving beer at a function. They asked me to, because they knew that I was sober and I could count the money and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been around alcohol ever since I got out of prison a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still like I don't even see it at all. It doesn't bother me. There's no temptation. It's just not a part of my reality anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a vegetarian that doesn't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not on a trip to tell everybody you don't eat meat or to try to persuade them not to. You just don't do it,
mm-hmm.
and can't do it and won't do it and know it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get preachy with anybody, but I can spot other alcoholics or people having problems and where they're at and their denial. Like, you know, it takes one to know one. And when you've been through all I've been through, you can't hide it from me.
Mm-hmm.
I can see my friends that have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I remember when people tried to talk to me, you're not ready to wake up until you're ready. You
mm-hmm.
know, you can be talked to till you're blue in the face, and you still don't get it until you really reach your bottom. And I had a very, very low bottom,
mm-hmm.
a really low bottom.
Now, often people who turn their life around as a result of using their faith become very creative. Now, did this happen in your life?
Oh, yes. Immensely creative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what I see is, to me, what I call God in a way, that is our gift as being a human being from the Creator, is to be, we're made in His image. He
mm-hmm.
creates.
Mm-hmm.
We all create. Most people have never found what their gift is that they can create.
Mm-hmm.
And mine has always been music, and I've always known that. But the songwriting, writing songs, is similar to writing my book. I mean, it's another form of writing.
Mm-hmm.
You just do a shorter book mm-hmm. and a song. But now I've written, gosh, about 30 original songs. And then
book.
Yeah, yes, yes. I'm going to have a CD coming out that will accompany the book. It's
mm-hmm.
30 years of original songs. And all of the songs could actually pertain to certain pages in the book. That part of my life is when I wrote the songs.
Mm-hmm.
So any reader would probably really like to hear how I sing, you know, what I wrote. The words are heavy. My songs make people cry.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's something about, I can hit a nerve with words. And that's kind of like what Toon Smith, like what Willie Nelson can do. There's
mm-hmm.
no fluff. It's just deep and simple. And you get to the point and people feel the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people have expressed about my music and my book, is that, God, you speak the truth without, like, any shame, and you don't really step on anybody's toes. You do it in such a way to not offend people, but it's, you know, when I say speak the truth, I'm speaking my own truth
mm-hmm.
for my own self-realizations. Because
mm-hmm.
to me, the truth is always, the truth is living. It's nothing you can write about or even talk about. It's
mm-hmm.
a living thing. But what happened in my life and my own self-realizations, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm trying to own up to everything and be as honest as I can
mm-hmm.
in this book. And the book hits emotions with everybody that's read it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make you laugh, cry, or maybe a bit angry.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes angry at me, like they're reading it thinking, oh, no, he's not going to do this now. And yeah, and it's like I did some stupid stuff, and it makes the reader angry till the next page, and then they kind of get
mm-hmm.
what happened. But, yeah, you know.
One thing I am doing on this is having people give a sample of their creativity. So I've had some people read a poem or read a little bit of what they wrote, or one person has written a lot of music, and he sent me an MP3. I'm going to play a segment of that when I do his show. So is there something you would like to share with the listeners as far as...
Sure. First, just let me share the chorus line of the title song of the CD,
mm-hmm.
which is the title of the book, is Still Singing Somehow. Well, I wrote a song called that, and the chorus is, I'm still singing somehow, and I'm still standing here and now. And as long as I'm breathing, breathing in and out, I'll still be singing, still singing somehow. And then the verse of the song is there anything you would like to say before I sentence you today, asked the balding Superior Court judge. Yes, Your Honor, I'm a very sick man who sees prison as part of the plan, a place where I can finally get well. Well, I did just that and a little bit more, and when I walked out the prison door, I knew right then that my life would be different now. And I'm still singing somehow, then the chorus.
Hmm.
And then once I was a married man, I had a cabin and a piece of land, but the fire took that and gave us a baby boy. Then I quit playing music and took a bad fall. I fell 20 feet, 12 breaks and all. I thought I would never walk again. But walk I did right out the door, leaving a life I would live no more. And today I can say I honestly found myself. And I'm still singing somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the words to my song.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
And great. If you'd like to hear a little bit of the first page of the book, mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and just read a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Before signing your plea bargain, is there anything you would like to say? Asked the balding Superior Court judge. Yes, Your Honor, I replied. I was the only one being convicted who even responded to the judge's rhetorical question. Since it was my life on the line, I decided that I may as well tell him what was running through my head. God, this is all so heavy. My palms are sweaty, I'm shaking, and I sense that the judge knew that I drank last night. I hoped that I would learn the length of my prison sentence after speaking with the judge. My court-appointed public defender hadn't been able to shed any light on this subject over the past 2 anxiety-ridden months. He dryly stated that I could serve anywhere from 4 months to 4 years for this aggravated DUI felony that had gotten me to this present comic moment of my pitiful life. Whatever sentence you impose, Your Honor, I see it as the will of God. I'm a very sick man who only wants to get well. I accept my punishment wholeheartedly. The judge replied, Thank you, Mr. Rideout. I will soon be sentencing you to prison in the Arizona Department of Corrections. I've seen a few men really change for the better in prison. Good luck now in county jail until your sentencing. Good God, how had all of this happened to me? How had I let alcohol take me this low? I had 5 years of college under my belt, traveled to 19 countries, been blessed by holy men in India at the Kumbh Mela Festival, had 2 marriages plus a child, and quite literally withstood the trials of Job. But ironically, I was not scared out of my wits.
Mm-hmm.
I was way past that and ready to accept my sentence with open arms, praying that I could really change inwardly. I wanted to process and correct the many mistakes and wrong choices that had resulted in this incarceration. I saw that I must use this appointed time creatively to look within and reflect upon what had put me here. Abandonment issues and alcoholism, dysfunctional upbringing and rebellion, heartbreaks and my misleading, hasty ego. After decades of spiritual searching and study, maybe prison was just what I needed to awaken from the illusion I falsely created and called my life. Maybe I would somehow find the inner peace necessary to be able to forgive myself for all of the pain that I had inflicted upon my son, ex-wives, and loved ones. And I'll stop there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Very interesting. So, Rob, then, would you tell the listeners how they can get your book and any services that you have?
Sure.
And again, the name of the book?
Yeah. The name of the book, again, is Still Singing, comma, Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it on Create Space. That's all one word, CREATESPACE.com/344489.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also get it on Amazon. I'd prefer that you get it on the first one because I make a little bit more profit than on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But you can read all of the reviews on Amazon, and there's like 6 very, very good reviews. So
mm-hmm.
be sure to read all of the reviews, and because each person writes a little bit different angle. My book has been recently compared to Eat, Pray, Love, but with a more authentic feel, and that was by bookreview.com,
mm-hmm.
which is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm going to have a website that should be up later this week, stillsingingsomehow.com.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will be on there, plus pictures from my photo albums, that aren't anywhere else will be on my website. So mm-hmm. when you do read the book and want to see some of the places I lived in and some of the other ways I used to look, because I'm kind of like a chameleon, you know, there will be titles under the pictures so you know what's mm-hmm. what. But I'm going to have a real nice website that we're designing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the
and the music will be available also on your website.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube. You can see me on YouTube right now. You mm-hmm. can punch my name in, Rob Rideout, Rideout, or Still Singing somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So good. You can actually hear what I just read mm-hmm. to you a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Rob. I've enjoyed hearing this, and I know the listeners will also.
Well, thank you, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, yeah, I just really, really appreciate you having me on your show.
Thank you.
You know, and I wish we could talk for days.
Right, right.
You know, if you ever want me to send you a copy of the book, I'd be more than happy to.
I'd appreciate that, yeah. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. In the time left, I would like to tell you about my website, www.holistichealthshow.com. where you can sign up for a free monthly newsletter on healthy, holistic aging, now in its fourth year. You can also read my postings on the blog every Wednesday and Friday. The Friday blogs are always devoted to recent cancer research. Wednesdays are usually devoted to the topic of the series being presented. However, when there is limited research on the specific topic, such as the current series on faith, healing, and spirituality, I present cancer research Wednesdays also. Under radio, on the tab on the left of the home page, you will see a tab marked radio. There you can sign up to have the radio interview sent to your email box for free. You'll also find a shopping tab where you'll find some ebooks on natural ways to deal with stress, with anal fissures, and with cancer. There is also a CD on smoking cessation, and others will be added as I have time to finish them. I thank all of you who come to my website that include an average of 35,000 people each month from all over the world. I'm happy to see a large percentage of my total visitors from Russia. If any of you have ideas for series on natural solutions for various conditions, please let me know. Following this series, I have another one planned on diabetes and also another with more information on preparing for the Ascension in 2012. I thank you again for joining me today. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.